Let's turn in our Bibles to Leviticus in chapter 9, where we'll be reading in chapter 9, verses 1 through 24. Leviticus 9, 1 through 24. And beginning in verse 1, these are God's words. Now it came about on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, "Take for yourself a calf, a bull, for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, both without defect, and offer them before the Lord. Then to the sons of Israel you shall speak, saying, 'Take a male goat for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb both 1 year old without defect for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you.' So they took what Moses had commanded to the front of the tent of meeting, and the whole congregation came near and stood before the Lord. Moses said, 'This is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you.' Moses then said to Aaron, 'Come near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, that you may make atonement for yourself and for the people. Then make the offering for the people, that you may make atonement for them, just as the Lord had commanded, or has commanded.' So Aaron came near to the altar and slaughtered the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Aaron's sons presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put some on the horns of the altar and poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. The fat and the kidneys and the lobe of the liver of the sin offering he then offered up in smoke on the altar, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin, however, he burned with fire outside the camp. Then he slaughtered the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around on the altar. They handed the burnt offering to him in pieces with the head, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. He also washed the entrails and the legs and offered them up in smoke with the burnt offering on the altar. Then he presented the people's offering and took the goat of the sin offering, which was for the people, and slaughtered it and offered it for sin like the first. He also presented the burnt offering and offered it according to the ordinance. Next he presented the grain offering and filled his hand with some of it and offered it up in smoke on the altar, besides the burnt offering in the morning. Then he slaughtered the ox and the ram, the sacrifice of peace offerings which was for the people, and Aaron's sons handed the blood to him and sprinkled it around on the altar. As for the portions of fat from the ox and from the ram, the fat tail, and the fat covering in the kidneys and the lobe of the liver, they now placed the portions of fat on the breasts, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. But the breasts and the right thigh, Aaron presented as a wave offering before the Lord, just as Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." And those are God's words. So, if you remember last Lord's Day in chapter 8, Aaron and his sons have been ordained and consecrated to their offices of high priests and priests. And now, and remember, they had those 7 days of sacrifices to bring about the fullness of that ordination. And then this is now, in chapter 9, the eighth day, the very next day after their ordination. And they come now on their first official day of their execution of their office. And they come with the whole congregation of the people of Israel. And notice that when the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, is coming to worship, they're called the congregation of Israel. And so that might be helpful to you as you go forward in the scriptures. And then comes the command then by Yahweh to offer a burnt offering and sin offering and the grave offering and the wave offering. And the first offering is for the sin of Aaron and his sons. And then the offering, it says, for the congregation. Their sin being atoned for, pointing, of course, to the only atonement that is will take away sin through Christ. Aaron gives this first official worship service after he gives the sacrifice. He gives the benediction. He blesses the people. Verse 22, again, it says in verse 23, which means there could be two benedictions or one. I don't know. But in giving the benediction, the blessing of God, it is pronounced upon the people as he raises his hands, just as we do today. And Moses, the mediator, pointing to Christ, takes Aaron into the tent to symbolize now that Aaron is the high priest. And in some sense, Moses is passing the torch. Remember, Moses was acting as the mediator. But now that the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, has been set up for the first time, and the high priest and the priests have been now ordained, going into the tent is, in a sense, Moses passing the torch, or the Lord through Moses passing the torch to Aaron, that he is now the mediator. He's the high priest for the people, as he's the one who goes in to the holy place and into the Holy of Holies, to the very throne of God, at least symbolized. And so coming out of the tent, it says, Aaron blessed the people. And then the people saw the fire come from Yahweh. Some people say the fire came from heaven, but it didn't come from heaven. It came from the Holy of Holies, the very throne of God, the mercy seat. It came out from the tabernacle. And it consumed the sacrifices. And so, how were the sacrifices offered? They were offered by the fire that the Lord provided. It's showing that the fire that consumes God's wrath, God provides. And pointing, of course, even to the condemnation of Christ on the cross, God provides the means of the atonement. And there's only one way, we learned this morning in Sabbath school, through Christ alone. And so to this the people shouted, very last verse, and fell down and worshiped the Lord. The shout that they give is not a word for crying in physical fear. They were not more like fear that they had in Exodus 19, when God thundered down. It wasn't that kind of fear. But a shout, the word is a local, vocal cry of joy. And loud. Joy in the Lord, beloved, we learn here, leads to worship. And so this passage teaches us, even as it points to Christ, of course, who fulfills all these things, it teaches us that worship is vanity if it is apart from the presence of Yahweh. That's what the fire coming out and the Aaron going in and the fire coming out, all that symbolizes. Without the presence of Yahweh, worship is meaningless. God with us, though, the Emmanuel principle, God with us makes worship worship. And it's what we look forward to. And it's what Israel looked forward to in Exodus 33, when Moses said, if your presence is not going with us as we go out, do not lead us from this place. It is not by your going with us that we are set apart. And he asked the question, are we not set apart because you are with us? We're holy because you're with us. And so we are holy, and his worship is holy because he is with us. Or we are, as Hebrew teaches us, we are with him before the throne now, spiritually. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your presence, that you make it all the more clear, more than fire coming out from before your throne. You make it all the more clear that we are present with you in glory. Not that you come down to us, but you've made a way through Christ alone that makes a way that we can come before you where you are, before your throne. Especially in union with your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power and strength of the Holy Spirit as we prayed. That we know that we are able, by your grace, to worship you in spirit and in truth with our hearts and according to your word. Because we know that you are present with us. That we join, like Hebrews teaches us, the great assembly and the myriads of angels and all the saints who have been made perfect. We join with them now. And we are thankful for this. That even as we worship now, we are worshiping with all the rest of the saints before your throne now as they gather in their various congregations throughout your congregations throughout the world. And we are thankful for this. And we're thankful that we do not have to go to Jerusalem, or we don't have to go to a certain one location in the world to go to this tent of meeting or the temple and into your courts. But now we come into your courts wherever we are gathered together, and your Spirit is present in our hearts. Just as Jesus promised in John to the Samaritan woman. So, Father, we are thankful that you make us to be present with you. And you make us, as we are present with you, you make us holy in Christ alone. But, Father, with that, as we consider your presence and we come with joy, bowing down before you, Father, we realize once again that as you are a holy God, we are sinful and we are wretches in comparison to you. And we have much sin in our hearts, in our minds, in our thoughts, in our feelings, in our emotions. We have broken your commandments. We have made other gods. We've made images and worshipped other things. We've taken your name in vain as we have not honored you as we ought to honor you. We've not spoken of your word when we ought to have spoken your word in testifying the gospel. And we've also used words and euphemisms that really dishonor your name. Father, we have, even this day, broken the Sabbath. We've not rested in you. We've rested in our own cares of this world and worldly things. And we've not worked diligently 6 days. We've been lazy. Father, forgive us of not loving you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And yet we are thankful that you have washed us with the blood of Christ and cleansed us of our sin and cleansed deep within us. That now we do pray that you would continue working in us and continue to put to death the sin that remains, as we will study in a few moments. Putting to death sin, we confess again that we have been negligent in this. We confess that we have not examined ourselves as we ought to examine ourselves and found the many sins we've committed and even ignorantly committed. Yeah, Father, there are other sins we've committed, and we've tried to put them to death in means and ways that you have not commanded, and therefore not really put them to death. We've not trusted in Christ to put them to death by your Spirit. We've trusted in ourselves to put them to death. And rather than putting them to death, we have actually allowed them room to increase. Father, in these things, forgive us. Well, we are thankful, though, for the great assurances we have that you work all things together for our good, and that even our sin will not separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We're thankful for the protection of the Holy Spirit, who is our guardian and our comforter and our guide. We're thankful for the many graces you've given us. And we pray that we would not grieve the Spirit, but honor Him and submit to His leanings, that you would help us to see our sin and turn from them unto you, a gracious God, Father, who's given us a gracious Savior, who loves us and has died for us, that we in Him might have life forever. And if we've believed the gospel, even if we are deep in our sin, we've truly believed and we have your Holy Spirit, then we know that we are your children, been adopted into your family. And we are heirs, and nothing can take that inheritance away, not even a great inheritance of you yourself, as First Peter teaches us. Father, we pray for those who are sick, not feeling well, and so we pray for Dina and Kendall. We pray for Jeannie and her knee, and any others who may be not feeling well, continue to pray for Karen and her health, but we do pray for her salvation and the salvation of our children and the salvation of any here who do not know you. We pray also that as we confess that Christ is our mediatorial King, He's our priest and King, Father, we pray that we would bow the knee and kiss the Son. And we pray for our governing authorities that they would do the same, and that you would rule over them as they rule over us. And you would cause them to rule according to your word. And through them, we ask that you would show mercy and grace to us. And that for many years you would continue this congregation, and that the nation would not hinder us in our worship, our free worship of you according to your commands. And these things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.